Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, and we come this morning to the Lord's Prayer. So let's begin with the beginning, the invocation, or the address, the way that you start a prayer. Our Father in heaven, the greatest and most important of all addresses, when we come before God and we say His name, the most important thing we can call Him in prayer is Father. Father. First and foremost, our Lord taught us to focus our attention on the fatherhood of God when we pray. Which means we address our prayers primarily to God the Father, as opposed to praying to Jesus or praying to the Holy Spirit. And we relate to Him with words and thoughts and attitudes that are fitting for a child to relate to his Father. And we learn that not only from Jesus' teaching, but also from His example. Jesus taught us by example to pray to the Father. Jesus' prayers were to the Father, weren't they? He always said, "My Father." He refers to God as "My Father" over 100 times, just in the Gospel of John. He always said, "My Father, my Father." In fact, every prayer Jesus ever prayed that's recorded, he addressed God as Father, except the only exception is in when he's quoting Psalm 22 on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So we speak to the Father, we pray to the Father. Now, that's not to say that it's wrong necessarily to address another member of the Trinity. I'm not saying that. That's to take the principle too far. I've heard some people say, "Well, you shouldn't even pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit." I think that's going too far. I did find some examples in Scripture of Jesus praying, or people praying to Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service." And then the other one is Acts 7:59. "While they were stoning Him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" So, it's not wrong to pray necessarily to Jesus. In the book of Revelation, praise and worship are offered up to the Lamb, right? So that's valid. That's appropriate to pray to Christ. But those examples that I just gave, as far as I could find, are the only examples. I think those are exceptions to the rule. They're valid exceptions, but they are exceptions. And I think when we follow the example of those exceptions and we do pray to Jesus, we should also follow the example of Scripture that when you see someone praying to Jesus, it's not just the word Jesus, but also some titles, some exalted titles, lofty titles that go along with it. Stephen said, "Lord Jesus." And Paul said, "Christ Jesus, our Lord." And I mention that because I've just noticed that people who kind of tend in the direction of an over-familiarity with Christ in prayer, those kind of people very often address all their prayers to Jesus. Sometimes you see this in certain charismatic circles. All their prayers, all their worship, it's always Jesus. "Jesus, thank you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Jesus." And it's and rarely any titles of exaltation, just the name Jesus. And in some case, I think that can point to an over-familiarity with the King of Kings. Praying mainly to our Father in heaven, I think, will prevent us from tending to reduce God to just a buddy-buddy kind of a relationship. So in those exceptions, when we do pray to Jesus, who does call Himself our brother, it's good to, I think, include titles of exaltation, just as Scripture does, to remind ourselves that even though He's our brother, He's still our Creator, and we're still creatures. Paul used the name Jesus over 200 times, and only 17 appear without a title. And none of those 17 appear in a prayer or worship or doxology context. For Paul, it's always the Lord Jesus, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, or something like that. It's always a title. And I think we'd do well to have more titles be included in our mentions of Jesus, especially in the context of prayer and worship. And I think that'll help guard us against over-familiarity with Christ. But I think the best safeguard against over-familiarity is to address the great majority of our prayers to God the Father. Thinking of and speaking to a perfect Father in heaven gives the ideal balance between reverence and intimacy. It's important that we don't think of God too much on either side. We don't want to think of Him as being too remote and distant and afar off, so much so that He's not really interested or involved in us individually. And it's also important that we don't think of Him as being so close and so nearby and familiar that He becomes just a buddy or a pal and there's no trembling or awe. We want to avoid both of those errors. And the concept, I think, of fatherhood is a huge help in finding that perfect balance. There's no greater relationship, example of all human relationships of a love that so perfectly combines intimacy with respect than the love for a father, right? Loving your father is a combination of those things. The illustration, I think, might be not quite as powerful, not quite have the impact on us that it had in ancient times, because back then I think there was a higher respect for fathers. But I think we still get the idea. You know, even in our day, that intimacy and respect are combined for a father. You might be very close to your dad. Very close. You might consider him your best friend. But still, you don't talk to him the same way you talk to your buddy down the street. Right? You might be such close friends with the kid at school that, you know, you're just shoving each other around, you're calling each other names, and what are you doing? Dipstick? Oh, I'll get lost, hand bone, or whatever. And you're just, you know, there's all these names, and nobody's offended, and there's no disrespect intended or taken in that because of your buddy. But still, you don't talk that way to your father, right? And it's not because he can't take a joke. It's not because you're not close. It's just because it's not fitting. There's a certain amount of honor due to a father. In Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? There's a certain amount of respect and honor. The word honor in the Hebrew is kavod, and it's related to the word for glory, which is kavod. Both those words come from the idea of heaviness or weightiness. You dishonor somebody by treating him more lightly than he ought to be treated. And you honor somebody, when you honor someone, instead of taking him lightly, you attach great weight and importance and significance to him. That's what honor means. If I'm speaking to a police officer, or some important big shot somewhere, or the President of the United States, or whatever, I'm going to speak to him with all the terms of the greatest respect that I can think of. It's all going to be yes, sir, and no, sir, and all that. And I'm not going to take a lot of liberties and being overly casual or familiar with him. On the other hand, if I'm just hanging out with one of my buddies or my brother or something like that, my speech is going to be a lot different. The first is a relationship of honor and respect, and even an element of fear, whereas the second one is a relationship of closeness and familiarity and just being comfortable with each other. But with your father, they're combined, right? So both of those kind of relationships are put together in one. And I realize some of you grew up in a home where the father-child relationship was twisted and just messed up in various ways. In fact, really all of us have, right? All of us has been it to some degree or another. But I think there's something in us that just intuitively knows that if there was no intimacy, if you could never get close to your dad, or on the other side, if it was impossible for you to respect your dad, that's not how it should be. That's not the way things ought to be. I think even people with bad human fathers can appreciate the imagery of God as our Father in Scripture. Sometimes people say, I shouldn't preach on that because a lot of people can't relate to that because they didn't have a good father. I don't agree with that. I think there's something deep inside us that longs for the right kind of father-child relationship. So we intuitively know how it should be, to the point where we're distressed if we don't have it. That's why you're distressed if you didn't have it. If you didn't have that in you, a knowledge of the way it's supposed to be, then it wouldn't bother you. I mean, if your father wasn't that way, then you wouldn't even know any different and it wouldn't bother you. But it does bother you because that's deep inside us. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, sometimes those who have never had a good father-child relationship can understand this principle better than anyone, because to the rest of us, we just tend to take it for granted. We've had it and we take it for granted, and so we fail to realize how wonderful it really is. But those people who have never had it, and instead they had some horrible alternative, know better than anyone how desirable a proper father-child relationship really is, because they just crave it and long for it and weep because they don't have it. And so they can appreciate it even more. It's just an amazing thing if you think about it. Because in most relationships, reverence and fear are on the opposite end of the spectrum of intimacy and familiarity. You can either have one or the other, but not both. And the more you have of one, the less you have of the other. But with a father, not only can you have both, but it seems to me, the more you have of the one, the more you have of the other. The sweeter the intimacy, the greater the respect. You just test this out. I mean, just find somebody that has a great relationship with his or her father, and I think you'll see this. People who are really, really close to their dad, and they just have a sweet friendship with him, and they feel utterly safe around him to just be themselves, those tend to be the exact same people who have the most deep and profound respect for their father and would never dream of taking him lightly. And, you know, intentionally disobeying him is out of the question. In fact, they tremble even at the thought of just doing something to disappoint him. Intimate love and reverent fear become beautifully entwined in a way with the Father that I think is just unique to all human relationships.
Addressing God as Father helps us keep the balance of both respect and intimacy. But as with anything that calls for balance, most of us struggle with imbalance, doing better on one side than on the other. Which side do you find more difficult, trembling before the awesome majesty of God in fear and reverence, or drawing near to Him in sweet intimacy? Find a way to begin your prayers with words that will help bolster the part where you're weak.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.